Yo, we out here. It's A&A MMA episode 70 coming at you live. I'm your host, Slim.
It's Monty, back at him.
You already know.
Your favorite Fortnite duo.
Of course.
We played once.
The only duo there is, I'm pretty sure. Well, we're recording in an odd Thursday time this week. We had a lot of shit going on. How was Travis Scott, by the way?
Yo, Travis Scott put on the show of a lifetime, bro.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was... I've been to two of his shows. One of them was at Rolling Loud, which makes it like even more crazy. But that shit was like the most beautiful, like theatric shit I've ever seen in a concert. And I saw Justin Bieber dancing under a fucking waterfall. Okay.
I saw he was on like a roller coaster and shit.
Bro, he rolled a roller coaster, let like fans ride the roller coaster.
What?
I mean, he had a little short movie come on. It was probably like 2 minutes long of just like wild shit. Like, dude,
that's awesome.
It was a mind fuck. He played Drugs You Should Try It, which is literally my favorite song of all time. Like,
hell yeah.
Like, if I die, that's the last song I want to listen to. Like, that's my favorite song, bro. And he played it. And I got like, I had like that sensation come over me. Like, I was about to start crying. I didn't cry, but like, my body tensed up. Like, I was about to, bro. Like, it was such a like, sick moment.
Nice.
I fucking loved it. Best, like, every time he comes to Ohio.
What song besides Sicko Mode had the crowd popping the most?
Butterfly Effect definitely popped off. Like his, one of his kind of like slower songs that people were definitely singing was Can't Say.
Okay.
He played 90210, which was sick. I mean, he played everything. Trippy put on a hell of a performance.
Trippy was
too.
Here? I forgot.
Yeah,
shit.
Dude. I saw Trippy perform.
I saw no videos of Trippy.
He was going ham, bro. He opened
really?
Up mosh pits and shit.
Nice.
And Trippy was going ham,
yeah,
bro.
I saw all videos of Travis on everyone's story, but no Trippy.
I posted some Trippy and...
Nothing?
I was singing really loud in the back.
Oh.
Chance said, I'll perform Get Back at your funeral. It'd be better. We're also currently on Instagram Live, and we're taking questions and everything, so... you guys will hear a little bit of live content. So maybe look out for this upcoming Sunday. We'll be on Twitch again, as usual.
Hey, that's my birthday.
Wow. So we got your show and UFC
231.
231 coming up on the same day. And then the next day is your birthday?
And the day before 231 is my album drop.
What?
This is going to be a killer weekend.
Oh, wow. Monologuing Nonsense. Dropping?
It's out tomorrow.
On all platforms. Don't call me a fucking SoundCloud rapper anymore. You're not a SoundCloud rapper anymore.
No.
Wow, I don't like that.
I do.
You don't have to get the face tat now?
I'm still
You're like out of it?
Right?
You're exempt?
I got to get the forehead tat now over the eyebrow.
Yo, I'd so be down for a chance to perform some Get Back at my funeral, bro. Imagine my grieving family and Chance just like in his fucking egg costume.
Your family's just crying and they just leave slowly.
Just file out. My dad's just sitting there like, this shit's kind of fire.
It's what he would have wanted.
Yo, that shit's silly.
But you know where you can see Get Back being performed without Monty's death? It's this Saturday at the Eurogyro in Kent.
Fuck yeah. What time?
At 8 o'clock is when it all goes down.
Who else is performing?
Myself. Tiger Uppercut.
Tiger Uppercut, the producer?
Coming up from Columbus.
Oh my goodness.
We got G Black.
G Black's fired.
Geronimo Black.
Yes.
And none other than Sean Ast.
No.
Yes. So if you ever want to...
Hold on. Repeat what you just said.
Sean Ast.
Stop.
Nasty Nork himself.
Nasty Nork is coming out of retirement?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We're going to be doing vocal warm-ups together. Did you see my snap the other day on Tuesday?
I saw the... Didn't you guys put it on the main show?
Yeah.
I went to listen to it and I didn't.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, I saw you guys did it. I was there.
We're going to do those together. So Miyagi. But it's going to be a good time. I'm excited to see Tiger for sure because I haven't met him in person yet. He's a dope dude.
Sick, dude.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be fun.
What happened in the MMA world? We had two cards this last weekend.
Yeah. Didn't we have a Bellator one too? I didn't watch that one.
There was a Bellator card, but you know. Just some typical Bellator shit.
Yeah.
Listen, I really can't wait for the day that Bellator is competitive to the point where I want to watch it.
Right.
They now, don't get me wrong, they do put some great cards together.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the one of the only promotions I will sit down, pay my money if I need to, and watch.
Right. But most of the time, they're like, this is Joe Schmo versus Mojo.
Like, I just feel like I could get into Bellator.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's not a good thing. But
watches you.
I guess in some like early news, Mr. Van Zant, Austin Vanderford, just actually signed to Bellator. There's a new upcoming prospect there in the lightweight division.
He's putting his 5-0 record on the line.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did he announce a fight or anything?
No, not yet.
Okay, cool.
Jack Swagger is supposed to fight in January.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I saw that.
That got announced.
He talks
too.
Weird.
He's a wrestler, dude. He's got that persona.
I guess.
Yeah. Anyway.
Later, Freely.
Where do you go?
Freely signing out. His phone's about to die.
Oh. He should be working anyway. So, we had two cards. We'll start with the lesser of the two. The first one was...
Oh, you're a Big Holland.
Well, I mean...
You said the lesser of the two.
Let's be real.
Only 2,000 people showed up.
Seriously?
Only 2,000 people showed up.
Yikes.
We could have gotten there for free, probably.
Just watched up from outside.
This was at the Pearl Theater at the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And it was the Ultimate Fighter Season 28 finale.
Possibly the last Ultimate Fighter.
No, they're going to continue on ESPN.
Oh, okay.
But I did not watch this one. I'll say that straight up.
Get that money, Freely.
So did you? Because what was I doing when this was going on? This was Friday. Oh, I was at that music video shoot, blacking out. So I did not get to watch
it. I can't wait till we make your song Blackout.
I can't wait till you see this video, because I'm probably going to be on blacking out. Blackout.
Cool.
Anyway. So wait,
what was the song called?
Sandwiches. It's not out yet. Fire. Or Sandwich. Fire. One or the other. But it's going to look dope. And I hope they just got footage of me being a sloppy
Is it A-Lo?
Yeah.
Is he just like...
No, but during this one part, he goes, I don't give a damn, I don't talk to cops. And me and Chance are geeking out saying, is that the brain? It's the way he says it.
Called him the brain.
Yeah, the way he says it, he's just like, I don't give a damn, you talk like that. It's so funny.
It's geeky.
But no, the video looks sick. Like, it's just me, Chance, and the rest of Lot 9 just chilling in this kitchen while A-Lo just like gets dry humped by his girlfriend on the floor in a chef's outfit.
I saw your steps. Yeah. Very fire. Very artistic.
Right. Anyway. You're going to have to run this one down because, like I said...
What?
I didn't get to watch
it. Oh, my goodness.
I'll do the next one, though.
All right. This is like my second card in a row I've had to do by myself.
I watched the next one, for sure.
Okay, fine. So, taking it from the top, we had a bantamweight bout. Rayoni Barcelos took on newcomer Chris Gutierrez, and it was Rayoni Barcelos's deep jiu-jitsu background that carried him through this fight. Ended up getting a rear naked choke over Chris Gutierrez 4 minutes and 12 seconds into the second round. A great performance by Rayoni Barcelos. He has been known to choke people out, though. Moving on to the welterweight
division.
So
they say.
Tim the Dirty Bird Means took on former Bellator contender Ricky Rainey. And which one of us took Ricky Rainey?
You, I picked the Dirty Bird.
Goofy ass me. The fuck?
The Dirty Bird.
Tim Means came out and clacked Ricky Rainey all the way up.
Right.
Knocked him out in a minute and 18 seconds.
Yikes.
Holy cow. Tim Means is
back.
Always there, man.
Yeah, well.
Always there.
But, yeah.
Moving on to the lightweight division. Newcomer, former Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series winner, Roosevelt Roberts, took on Daryl Horcher, who has fought Khabib. I mean, he's kind of a tomato can of the UFC. Sorry, Daryl. I hate saying that stuff.
Damn.
But
it's fine.
Keeping it real.
Facts.
Big facts. Are we too opinionated as MMA analysts, journalists? Are we too opinionated? Should we not say things like that? Give us your opinion.
Give me your opinion on if we're opinionated. I don't think so.
Not on if we're opinionated, because we are very opinionated and...
Should we not?
Some people might like that, but how far will that be able to take us into the actual MMA journalism world?
I think.
Is that too deep of a thought right now?
I mean, if we were like calling fights, that'd be different. Obviously, you can't pick favorites when you're like, oh, yeah, this dude's just kicking his ass. Like, you can't be like, yeah, I told you he'd win when you're calling a fight. Like,
or if like somebody like signed us or was like, hey, we're going to get you big or whatever. Like, we need you guys to do this job. They bring us on.
I don't know. Maybe
they would have to. They would probably tell us like, "Yo, you guys need to not be as
well."
And that's cool.
It's probably taken as disrespectful to the fighters. You know, no, you call me a tomato can, but
it is disrespectful. Daryl Horcher, if I ever if I see him in 2 years, he's probably gonna want to fight me. But I'll tell him, dude. At that time, if he's still in the
UFC, I was smoking a lot of weed,
and I thought you were a total tomato can. You proved me wrong. I'll admit that I was wrong. I mean, this is all documented words. I mean everything I say. Sometimes I go back and I hear shit that I say, and I'm like, what the? What was I thinking?
Yeah, I do that a lot, but
this is an impulsive podcast. We say that totally unscripted. Just know, like, don't take that as like, oh, he's a tomato can. Like, I'm being mad disrespectful. It's an observation.
Yeah.
As a MMA fan, Daryl Horcher gets his ass kicked.
He's gotten thrown to the who's who of competition.
What do you want me to say? You know, like, come on.
It's fine. Anyway, Roosevelt Roberts actually beat Daryl Horcher quicker than Khabib did. Little tidbit.
Roosevelt Roberts ends up getting his first UFC win, a submission by guillotine choke. Roosevelt Roberts moves his record on to 6-0. A very promising lightweight prospect, very tall, lanky, great striking, and obviously he can also get it done on the ground too. That performance ended up getting him $50,000 for a performance of the night bonus.
50 G's, baby. Whatever happened to that one dude on the series? He was like the big dude. He looked like Patrick Starr. He fought on Contender Series.
Josh Parisian or whatever.
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
Did he lost.
Like, first round or what?
I don't know. I just know he lost.
Because usually they at least make it to the finale.
He fucked with Jeff Hughes.
Yeah.
Jeff Hughes mentioned him when he was on our show.
Yeah, they usually at least make it to the finale.
Big shout out to Jeff Hughes.
Yeah, of course.
I've been thinking, I need to like text Jeff Hughes or just, I need to talk to him.
I just talked to Jeff yesterday. Well, not like talk.
Well, I know, but like on Facebook, like.
Yeah, he commented on my picture. But.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that's cool to me. I got a UFC fighter that comments on my memes.
He likes all my picks too. Like, I fucking love Jeff, bro.
I know.
Like, I would literally jump in front of a bullet because Jeff's life is way more
valuable.
Like,
no, Jeff!
Yeah, right. I'll take that bullet for sure.
Why am I sweating so bad?
The only people I die for probably are like my mom, Spyro, and Jeff Hughes.
Oh, I didn't make the list.
Well, just thinking about like life valuability, like you're pretty much on the same level as me, bro. We're in the same tax bracket.
I mean, that's debatable, but all right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're there together.
Anyway. So it's all about money? Is that what you're saying? Spyro's worth more money than me?
Dude, Spyro's probably worth $1 million. I thought about it the other, I actually
homegrown
asked,
cat.
I asked Chad and Lauren the other day if they were offered $1 million for Kovu, would they take it? And Chad was like, nah, like off rip. And Lauren was kind of like, it's $1 million.
Yeah, I'd give that away for Kovu. Fuck. Sorry, bud, but that tail be whacking shit.
His one downfall.
Take that to someone else's coffee table.
Oh shit, we don't have a coffee table anymore.
No,
you haven't been in my living room since it got totally rearranged.
Yeah, since the fucking
totally new
fight.
Color.
Oh yeah,
all that shit.
Nice.
Yeah,
Lauren's been putting in work.
Lauren is a fucking decorator professional. Ooh, Buck said my shirt's fresh. Thanks, Buck.
Nice. All right, on to the prelims.
Sorry,
it's all good.
That was the UFC preliminary, early preliminary card on the UFC Fight Pass. As I've mentioned before, I'm off that pay your $10 shit. If you're going to illegally stream it, you're going to illegally stream it. I don't care. You're going to have to pay for ESPN Plus in a minute anyways, so do what you need to do, my man.
Please don't illegally stream my album.
Don't illegally stream Slim's album, but good luck on that illegal Wilder Fury stream,
got you.
Son.
Got you.
That shit was stupid HD, too.
I know.
people asked us to talk about that fight.
Okay, I'm not really a boxing guy, but it was clear that Wilder won the fight to me. Or not Wilder, I'm sorry, Fury.
Like,
Fury.
Whoa, we got a controversy!
It was clear that Fury won the fight to me. And the fact that he had been off for 2 years, he had ballooned up to 400 pounds like he did and cut back down to 250. It shocked me that Wilder only weighed in at 215 pounds or 212.
Like, yeah.
That was like 216
to like 222, something like that.
Yeah, but Fury was 250.
Yeah.
That's
way bigger. That's and shocking. He's the first person Deontay Wilder ever fought that was taller than him.
Really?
Yeah.
He's 6'9", dude. That's nuts.
Yeah. And just his skill, bro. The way his head movement. Stupid.
Excellent boxing.
Stupid.
I thought if Wilder didn't get those two knockdowns,
it wouldn't even be a conversation.
But even though he did, I still feel like boxing is just a big old money grab. Oh, it's my cousin. Nope. Didn't get in time. Anyway,
nice.
I still feel like boxing is a huge big money grab for this, just like they did with Triple G and Canelo, just to sell more fights because of how successful this fight was. So they're going to run it back.
Listen, time out. I want to just point this out. Canelo versus Triple G, first fight, draw.
Mm-hmm.
KSI versus Jake Paul,
mm-hmm.
or Logan Paul, which one is it? Whichever one. Who gives a fuck?
I think. I don't know. I don't care.
One of the Paul brothers. Yeah. One of the Paul brothers. First fight. Draw.
Correct.
Wilder versus Fury. Draw.
Do you know why? Because these fights sell so much. They sold so many seats.
So why not do it again?
Exactly. Money. Money, 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 money. Boxing is a money grab.
So that's why I want to point that out as...
Hello, you're live on A&A MMA.
Oh, look, it's both of them.
What's good?
Hi, guys.
What up?
Oh, look at Morgan's beanie.
What's good?
What up?
Hey, y'all, it's my cousins. Oh, yeah?
What?
Ooh.
How did Slim get a Christmas gift?
A birthday gift, you fucker.
Damn, I forgot.
He said...
Yo, I know what your birthday gift is.
Ooh. Ooh. Hell yeah.
She must have got you a different gift.
Oh, Morgan didn't show hers?
That was fire, Slim.
Dope. Hell yeah, guys. Thank you. Thanks for coming on my podcast. You're our guest today. Bye. All right, dope. Anyway.
We should FaceTime them in the middle of Bihu.
No,
that's
not, I don't want to. I don't want to face on my 6-year-old cousin on Bihu. Anyway, where were we? Oh yeah, money, 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 money.
Oh yeah, how much bullshit that is. So okay, so that's why boxing is just so nasty. They're nasty as fuck, bro. As I burp into the mic, they're gross. They're dirty. They're bad people, bro. Because, like, on the money selling side. Boxing just has that shit. But like MMA, like Conor and Khabib, like if that was something that is like, it, like if you want to consider that some like WWE shit, at least they're doing some WWE shit and they're not doing some grimy ass shit like boxing.
Right, of course.
Like at least they're really doing some shit. Like,
of course.
That's just why MMA is better.
I think so too.
Straight up.
Boxing is more of an art. I feel
like boxing, if you want to talk about the actual martial art of it, boxing is absolutely amazing. But I'm talking about like the game of it. Yeah. I'm talking about like the game, like these corrupt ass people. It's like soccer. Like it's the same shit, bro.
Soccer's corrupt.
Soccer's corrupt as fuck.
I didn't know that.
It's like the most corrupt game in the world.
Football,
bro. Straight grimy. There's just bad people in it. Same shit with boxing.
I didn't know that shit.
Like, I just hate that shit. But overall. A great fight. I'm glad I didn't pay for it. I won't pay for a boxing fight now if I know I can get that type of HD fucking...
Yeah, like greasy. You just got Google that shit. That's all I did.
No, you did not.
What?
No, you did not. I Googled... What'd you Google? What did you put
in Wilder versus Fury Reddit stream.
Oh, okay. So you put Reddit stream.
Yeah, Reddit has everything.
I'll put like...
I texted you that. Reddit has everything.
Well, I've never been on Reddit.
Well, okay. Now you know.
Shout out to my homie, RIP... Chad Gravesmill, he was the fucking Reddit goat, bro.
I love Reddit.
He knew, like, everything on Reddit. Like, that's all he would do is just sit there on Reddit and find the fire, bro.
Reddit is my favorite, has my favorite meme page.
The Reddit god.
Any of the memes you see me post are from Reddit.
I never got hip, though. He got me hip to Rick and Morty, but he didn't get me hip to Reddit.
I'll show you some shit to follow.
Yeah, I'll try it out. I'll fuck with Reddit.
Anyway.
I got something in my eye, and it's fucking me up right now.
As
losing this fight.
As for our boxing coverage...
Yeah. overall, great fight. Definitely think Fury won the fight. I don't know how it ended up being a draw. It's just corrupt shit.
It was Adelaide Bird.
And in my mind, Fury won.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens in the next one, because we know there will be another one.
Has to be.
And just like the Canelo Triple G fight, there's going to be a winner in the next one.
But I have heard a lot of people say from the outcome of this that they don't think Wilder can take Anthony Joshua anymore.
No. See, Anthony Joshua is kind of a mixture between both of those two fighters. Yeah. There's three consensus best heavyweights in boxing right now. It's Anthony Joshua from England, mm-hmm. Tyson Fury from, I think, like, also, is he from Wales or
Manchester? I might be wrong.
Okay, then, yeah, he's from England, too. Yeah, I might and be then, wrong. Of course, we have Deontay Wilder, the bronze bomber from Alabama.
The US of A.
See, Anthony Joshua's kind of a mixture between the two. He has really good power, but at the same time, he has decent technical skills. Mm-hmm. Where, like, Fury, not that much power where he's knocking people out.
Right.
But he has great technical skills, and Wilder's just KOing everybody. I think Anthony Joshua's the worst out of all three of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do think... Because I saw Anthony Joshua get dropped by Vladimir Klitschko.
Okay.
So he's definitely getting dropped by Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, that's possible.
So, yeah, that's just my boxing rankings, I guess, right there. All right. Let's get back to MMA. Yeah. Any closing statements on it?
No.
Okay, me either.
Money. Money, 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 money. That's all I have to say about boxing. All
right, so now we can go to the preliminary card on Fox Sports 1. In the women's featherweight division, we had two UFC newcomers, Leah Lettson taking on... Do you have that name right there, Slim? Yes! He's got it.
God damn it. Julia Stolarenko. Stolarenko.
Mitch commented and said, "You look stoned. I'll show you technical skills." Hi, Lauren.
Mitch wins by TKO. Hey, what up? Wow, our third guest today on Hey Name MMA.
all of our friends are joining onto the show.
This is great. No one wants to come in this trap house, but they'll go on Instagram Live. That's the secret we've been missing all along.
What's up? Oh, no. It's just... Hey, did you just hear how I said you would sell Kovu for $1 million live on the podcast? I ratted you out.
I said, let him go.
Well,
anyway, did I get the name?
Have your makeup on.
That's funny. Stoli. I'm going to 727 with Megan. Oh.
Well, bye. Maybe we should go to 727 with Megan.
All right, let's cut it here. Bye.
All right, back to the podcast.
Did I get the name right? Stolarenko.
Dude, you murdered that. Nice.
Yes.
Sick.
Yes. So that sounded out, you know what I'm saying?
All right, Leah Lettson versus Julija Stolarenko. Back and forth fight. Really, there wasn't a for sure winner. Leah Lettson ended up getting the split decision victory over Julija Stolarenko, 29-28. One judge had it 29-28 also for Julija Stolarenko. Yeah.
And the next fight we got...
You saw this one, though, right?
No.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I didn't... I missed this whole card. I watched the highlights of Usman and RDA, but I missed this one.
Okay. Moving on to the heavyweight division, we had Maurice Green taking on Michelle Batista.
Batista!
two UFC newcomers. So, Michelle Batista was actually a heavyweight wrestler from Cuba.
Whoa.
So, I was like, oh, he's probably fucking with the OL.
Yeah.
So I thought he was about to come in here and murk Maurice Green. Maurice Green got him on the ground, took him down, first off.
Whoa.
Took him down, and then Batista ended up getting up on top, and Maurice Green put him in a triangle choke.
From the bottom?
From the bottom.
Shit.
Bro, this dude is nasty. He's, like, dangerous from everywhere. He's sick. Maurice Green ended up defeating Michelle Batista 2 minutes and 14 seconds into the first round. Be a triangle choke.
Oh, this is new. The UFC actually has the times right. Every time you've said so far, it's been accurate on here.
For real?
Yeah.
That's new.
That's sick.
Cool update.
Right. Next fight in the flyweight division. The number one contender, Joseph Benavidez, is going up against Alex Perez.
What the fuck is this doing as the seventh fight down?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. On the prelims.
This is under, like, Kevin Aguilar and Rick Glenn. I mean, come on. Like, what? What is the UFC on, bro?
Well, they hate flyweights now, so...
Yeah, I guess.
That's that. Man, Joseph Benavidez, dude. How do you not give him a title shot?
They're honestly, I mean, he lost his last fight, didn't he?
Joseph? No.
Yeah, he did, to Sergio Pettis.
He did?
Yeah, but it was by split decision.
No.
Honestly, like, they're a little bit disrespectful, like, to him, like, I mean, to the flyweight division in general, but just like Joseph Benavidez, he does bite his toenails, though, so.
What?
You didn't know that?
No!
Bruh, he bites his toenails.
Ugh. But he's also dating
Megan. Isn't he married to Megan O'Leary?
Megan O'Leary, yeah.
She's fire.
Right. Good for him.
Yeah.
She might be taller, but good
yeah,
for him.
I was going to say, like, she literally probably like, nah, she's probably like 5'3", 5'2".
Maybe.
He's like 5'4".
Good enough.
125.
Don't wear heels, baby. See, this is where the disrespect comes back in.
All right. Sorry. We're done.
I love you, Joe.
Yeah. He's see, that's the shit. We're gonna, like, one day the UFC is gonna be like, yeah, come on, and we're gonna go, and people are gonna be like, oh, who are these guys? And they're gonna listen to one of our episodes, like a UFC fighter is, and we're just gonna be toasting their shit, and he's gonna just, like,
Herb Dean's gonna come after.
Bro, you remember Khabib and Ariel Helwani? Like, it's gonna be one of those, but worse.
Yeah, literally.
Ugh. We need to chill.
Oh God. Oh well, we're fine for now.
Joseph Benavidez ended up defeating Alex Perez, who was the favorite in this fight.
Really?
Yeah.
Yikes.
They need to stop sleeping on Joseph Benavidez. For sure. He's a top three flyweight. Okay, I'll give him top three.
Maybe, like, of all time.
Consensus. A little bit of facts about what he just did. His 11 victories in the UFC flyweight competition are now second most in divisional history behind Mighty Mouse, who has 13. He's two away.
Wow. Well, who knows if he'll ever get those next two.
He has 5 stoppage victories in the flyweight division, which is now tied with John Moraga for second most in the division behind Mighty Mouse, who has 7. His 4 knockout victories in the UFC flyweight division are now tied with who for most in divisional history, Slim? It's not Mighty Mouse. Who are the heavy hitters in the flyweight division?
Shit. I want to say...
One of them just got a fight announced.
I want to say it's the champ, the current champ.
Henry Cejudo?
Yeah.
No, it's John Hands of Stone Lineker.
Oh, I forgot he fought at flyweight.
Who is about to be taking on Dominick Cruz.
He's back.
At UFC 232?
233, maybe.
233?
I think. I might be wrong. But fire, damn, though. What an odd matchup. That's like a
That's going to be super interesting.
5-inch height differential. Wild.
But nobody wants to fight John Lineker right now.
Right. You see what he did to Brian Keller?
Yeah. Nobody wants to fight him.
No. I can't blame him. Shit.
Dominick Cruz steps in.
Right.
I like that.
I still did want to see Dominick Cruz against Marlon Moraes, so.
It'll happen.
Eventually. I still think he's in line for the title for next, but anyway.
For sure. But yeah, and also, so it was John Lineker and Dustin Ortiz for the most knockouts.
I forgot about him too. Fuck. Yeah.
And his 3 fight night bonuses for UFC flyweight bouts are tied with Luis Smolka for second most in UFC divisional history behind DJ, who has 9 of them.
Oh,
not going to catch that.
No.
But yeah, what a great performance by Joseph Benavidez. Now let's move on to the next fight that was fought at a catchweight because Kevin Aguilar missed weight by 3.5 pounds.
Mm.
He took on Rick Glenn. Kevin Aguilar's a good fighter, dude.
Yeah, but the trend continues. Fighters that miss weight and go on to fight win the fight.
Correct. But are they going to let him fight at that 145 division again, or are they going to move him up to 155?
How many times has he missed weight?
That was his first fight in the UFC. He came from Bellator.
Oh, that's right.
Or like World Series of Fighting or some shit.
I was thinking of Rick for some reason. No, they'll give him another chance. 3 pounds is kind of a lot, though.
Oh, shit. Justin
requested to be in the video too.
Missed him.
So many people, bro.
Yeah?
Yeah, so many people.
Nice. I think they give him another chance. It's his first fight. He'll be fine.
Okay. So Kevin Aguilar. Wait, what? Give him another chance. He won.
At 145.
Oh, okay. Yeah. For sure. Kevin Aguilar defeated Rick Glenn. Perfect 30-27s all across the board.
Right.
Every round. And that's hard to do against Rick Glenn. Like, for sure. That's the Gladiator Glenn, son.
Right.
He puts people down.
That's the Gladiator Glenn, son.
That was the preliminary card on Fox Sports 1. Moving on to the next fight, where another fighter missed weight. But this one broke the trend, Slim.
Yeah.
Ji-Yon Kim missed weight at 130.5 pounds. That's 4.5 pounds over the flyweight non-title limit. Damn. Of 126.
Oh, my God.
But she was fighting Antonina Shevchenko.
And Shevchenko said, oh, no. You're getting your ass whooped.
Yo, what I want to address about this fight, Valentina in the corner.
Yeah, of course.
Did you watch this fight?
No.
Son.
Every single strike she landed. Look, do you have the stats up right now?
I can.
Give me stats right now on how many strikes Antonina Shevchenko landed.
Let me see. It's loading. Motherfuck. Okay. While I look this up, go on.
Every single strike she landed, which was probably over 100.
Yeah.
Valentina in the corner yelled, "Hey!" I heard her yell, "Hey." 100 and something times. Which I guess,
hey!
As was explained by the commentators, I think Dan Hardy, in Muay Thai, that's how they score points.
Oh, by hit?
By haze.
What?
Like when a strike lands, they yell hey, and that's how you score a point.
Oh, that's kind of weird. Huh.
But just don't do that.
The strikes were a little less than you thought. Significant strikes were 66 to 33. Total strikes, 87-85.
Okay, I heard 87 Hayes.
Hey!
It was literally like that, too.
Wild.
Whew. Okay, rant over.
And she got both of her takedowns.
On the fight side, Antonina absolutely dominated this fight over Ji-Yon Kim. Dude, we have another threat in the 125 division.
I know, but what if her sister wins? She's going to become like a little gatekeeper.
A gatekeeper? How?
Because no one's going to get to the top because she's going to beat him up while Valentina just takes on random contenders.
Interesting. Well, that's not a gatekeeper, though.
I guess not.
That's just like a perennial top contender who won't fight her. Yo, what if the Shevchenkos have to fight for the title? I mean, fuck it.
No way.
Awesome audio, Slim.
Sorry. No way. Not my chair, not my problem. No way. Mr. Walk Way, don't walk down me. No way.
Antonina could possibly... I don't know.
Maybe she looks too big to drop to 115. But she's, like, right size for 125. So, both the sisters, I don't know, man. That's all saying if she can... If Ioana doesn't win. If Ioana wins, then...
Okay, we got another Shevchenko coming up.
Right.
Only time will tell, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Antonina Shevchenko defeated Ji-Yon Kim, 30-27s all across the board. Great first performance by her. Not too flashy or anything. A very conservative, grinding win.
Right.
Moving on to the middleweight division.
I was kind of upset by this one.
Edmund Shahbazyan took on Darren Stewart.
Didn't Darren fight like 2 weeks ago?
The last time Darren Stewart fought was Charles Byrd at UFC 228 in September.
Okay.
But remember, before that, he was on a 3-fight losing streak in the UFC. He took on Eric Spicely and beat him, and then he beat Charles Byrd, which nobody saw that coming.
Right.
And now he takes on Edmund Shahbazyan. Who's like some... He's fucking Ronda Rousey's... Is she still dating that dude?
Travis Brown?
Oh, yeah. She's dating Travis. So her ex-trainer/lover, whatever the fuck he was, this is like his relative or whatever.
Okay.
Edmund Shabazian won on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, coming in with a 7-0 record. The first couple rounds, I definitely saw them going towards Shabazian, but in the end of, towards the end of the fight, dude, he just fizzled. He had never been out of the first round. Actually, you know what? That second round, I'm giving
Stewart or Shabazian?
Shabazian.
Okay.
I'm giving that second round to Stewart, actually. First one, Shabazian. Second one, Stewart. And then Shabazian got a couple desperation takedowns that won him the round. It wasn't the best performance. He really needs to make sure that he's ready for a three-round fight. You're not going to win every single fight in the first round in the UFC.
No.
Got to get that cardio up. But other than that, very technical. He can go to the ground. I mean, his wrestling's great. And his striking's definitely above average.
Dope.
So Edmund Shabazian, a good prospect coming up in the middleweight division. We'll see what he can do. He defeated Darren Stewart by split decision, 29-28, 29-28. One judge had it 29-28 for Darren Stewart. Edmund Shabazian, your winner.
Nice. This next fight was pretty exciting.
Moving on to the bantamweight division, Pedro Munhoz took on Brian Caraway, and Pedro Munhoz ended up getting a vicious knockout.
Right.
Body kick, followed it up with some fucking punches, and then like picked Brian Caraway up and carried him on his shoulders. And Brian Caraway like really didn't want to at all. So kind of like it was super awkward.
Right.
Or whatever.
Like, you just rattled my brain, son. Put me down.
Right. Pedro Munhoz doing a little bit too much. Got the TKO victory 2 minutes and 39 seconds into the very first round. In our first Ultimate Fighter Championship fight, who was going to win the first women's, right? Or no, there was no. the one, two seasons ago?
For the title, yeah.
Right. The second women's Ultimate Fighter. We had Macy Shaysan going up against Pani Kianzad. So Pani Kianzad actually been in the game for a really, really long time. She's out of Ireland, and she's been waiting to be able to get into the UFC to prove that she's the best.
Yeah.
Had her chance, but Macy Shaysan seized the moment with a nasty rear naked choke 2 minutes and 11 seconds into the second round. Really, she just kind of dominated the fight. She kept her distance very well. Once it got to the ground, I thought Pani was going to have the advantage, but Shaysan just out of nowhere, man. I mean, she was definitely stronger. She's a good fighter. I'm excited to see what she can do in the featherweight division. She's definitely interesting. Coming 100%. In with an unbeaten record, 5-0 now. Didn't lose the whole time in that Ultimate Fighter house. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's impressive. So Macy Shaysan with the victory over Pani Kianzad, 2 minutes and 11 seconds into the second round. And then in the heavyweight division, our second Ultimate Fighter Championship bout.
I did see this one. This one was wild.
Yeah, so we had the family man, Justin Frazier, taking on the old man, 38-year-old, Juan Espino Depa.
Espino!
So
who is apparently a fucking submission expert.
Dude. Well,
he made it look like it, at least.
Oh, my goodness.
Or maybe Justin doesn't know what he's doing on the ground.
So he's 9-1. He looks like Ronnie if he was 265 pounds.
Oh, my God, he does.
Yo, look at this picture.
What the actual fuck?
Tell me that doesn't look exactly like Ronnie in that picture.
Bro, put that on the live.
Nobody's on.
Nobody's on?
Nah.
Shit.
But I'm definitely about to fucking bake Ronnie next time.
Oh, my God. Next time he fights. Like, what, it's Ronnie.
Macy Shaysan's only 3-0. My bad. I think she's like 5-0 or something. Whatever. But yeah, Juan Espino earned his 7th career stoppage, 9 wins overall, and he became the 9th fighter in UFC history to get a stoppage in the crucifix position.
Right. That's crazy.
Very impressive ground game. Good hands.
Mm-hmm.
We got another heavyweight contender. Put him up against Jeff Hughes. Let Jeff Hughes murk him.
Put him up against Tim Johnson, mustache.
Tim Johnson's not in the UFC.
He's in Bellator now, I know. shit. I don't know. I don't know about Jeff, but...
Man, Jeff has to fight somebody.
Who the fuck is Jeff going to fight, man?
I don't know.
Justin Willis?
Somebody. Shit. Justin Willis just fought Mark Hunt.
I know.
Are they putting Jeff all the way up there right quick? I mean...
He said, be careful what you wish for, because that's what you're going to get when he said, I'll take a top 10 guy.
Well, Jeff Hughes is murking Justin Willis. Straight
they might
up.
Put him up against Bam Bam now. Bam Bam's not in the top 10 anymore. Well, after we'll get to that later. But anyway, Juan Espinito looked great.
Yes, definitely.
Fantastic addition to the heavyweight division.
Got a straight arm lock 3 minutes and 36 seconds into the very first round. That
for
got him $50,000.
For sure.
Performance of the night bonus. Did I say Joseph Benavidez got his performance of the night
no,
bonus?
No, you didn't.
Joseph Benavidez also did.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the main event of the evening.
Rafael Dos Anjos going up against Kamaru Usman. Rafael Dos Anjos is 3-1 since moving up to welterweight this last year. And Usman has been 8-0 or 7-0 coming into this fight?
8-0.
8-0, one of the longest win streaks in welterweight competition. And my God, he proved why. He completely just tore up Rafael Dos Anjos. It almost looked like he was toying with him. Kamaru, I feel like, could have gone for the finish. He had the reach advantage in this, and he just looked like a prowler. But no, he used his wrestling and his clinch work. Totally dominated this fight.
For sure. I mean, that's Kamaru Usman, man. You're not winning.
Yeah. Dana White came out and said later, I want to see him versus Woodley now.
Yeah, instead of him versus Colby.
Mm-hmm. He said, Colby hasn't fought. Colby ducked the fight. I just seen this. This stays in my mind. Let's see Usman versus
I want to see Usman versus Colby.
Yeah, I know. Oh, bro, he'd fuck him up.
I just want to see
But I still want to see Colby versus Woodley, though. I hope that comes first.
Do you think both of them would wrestle him better?
Wrestle who better?
Colby.
Yes. I think Colby would get out-wrestled by either one of them. Yeah,
his hands are garbo, though.
I know.
He's going to get beat up. I can't wait.
He beat RDA on the feet? That's what I still can't understand.
I mean, RDA is beatable sometimes, though.
Yeah, he's not a natural
one. Kamaru Usman and Tyron Woodley, they don't lose.
Mm-mm.
I just want to see Colby get fucking beat up. It warms. Nothing just makes me like so happy.
Than to know that he's gonna get his
just
ass
lit
kicked.
Up.
He got
get
up
his
to
shit
the,
fucked
he,
up.
He got he climbed this mountain, but he can't get to the peak. Like.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see him fail.
Fuck Colby. All right, so that was your.
And that's one opinion I will always stick by.
Oh, of course, yeah, no problem. But that was your Ultimate Fighter season 28 finale.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
No comment.
On what?
Anything. Kamaru Usman defeated RDA Rafael Dos Anjos. 50-43, 49-45, and one judge had it 48-47.
Who? Who?
Where?
Who was that?
Where?
Whose man's? Come
Damn,
on.
Come
like, on,
come
son.
On.
Come on, dog.
Big tripping.
Really tripping. All right, so we're moving on to this next fight. UFC Fight Night in Adelaide, Australia. This took place at noon o'clock over there.
Noon
about.
O'clock. I like that.
Noon o'clock. We're going to take it from the bottom. There are only two prelim fights. We had Alex Georgis going up against Damir Ismagulov.
Nice, dude.
Another, this I thought, I don't know. Alex Georgis kept.
The first Australian fighter on the card.
The first Australian fighter on the card. Alex Georgis kept provoking Damir. But Damir knew what he was doing. He was taking his time. He wasn't, you know, getting into a slugfest like Alex wanted. And he was taking him down at will and just ground and pounding the shit out of him on the ground. Alex had no answer for that. But on the feet, Alex just kept provoking him like, what are you doing, man? Come on, come at me. And Damir was having none of that. He did for a second. And then he was like, no, what am I doing? Like, I'm beating this guy's ass. And yeah, an odd showing by Alex Georgis, who was supposed to be the better striker, was getting pieced up on the feet.
Mm-hmm.
He had the reach advantage, but he wasn't committing. I think he was fearing the takedown, but a dominant performance by Damir Ismagulov.
Definitely. He got the judges' scorecards 30-25, 30-26,
yes.
30-26.
And there were actually two 30-25 cards on this fight within the prelims, which is wild.
Right. Moving on to the lightweight division.
Hang on, I'm about to go live.
Bing, 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 bing. We had Christos Jagos going up against Mizuto Hirota.
This one surprised me, I'm not going to lie.
We both picked Christos Jagos.
I thought I picked Hirota. Well, I thought Hirota would have a better showing than he did, at least. Yeah, it was all Jagos.
For sure.
Literally. The entire fight. There was no Hiroto didn't really have much of an offense, honestly,
at all.
So yeah, Christos Jagos got that one.
You're supposed to be doing this one, so
I don't have the stats. Sorry.
Christos Jagos defeated Mizuto Hirota 29-28, 29-27, 30-28, sorry. And that was an early preliminary card on UFC Fight Pass.
In the next fight, we have Elias Garcia going up against Kaikar France. Kaikar France is apparently a longtime friend of Israel the Last Stylebender Adesanya. He was in the crowd tonight, who also did a shoey with his little fanny pack around the chest.
Oh, yeah.
You see that? but man, Kaikar France looked great. This was a tough opponent and he looked awesome. This was actually the first Australian to win on this card so far. And dude, got fight of the night for this too. He looked amazing. Got the decision.
Kaikar France with an amazing first performance in the UFC. Long awaited performance, debut. Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying, dude.
What are you saying?
I don't know. I have no clue, man.
But yeah, Kaikar France looking great. He's a great addition to that flyweight division. I hope he sticks around. Mm-hmm. All right.
What up, Mushu? What's
good? Anyway, on to the next fight. We had Keita Nakamura going up against Salim Tuari. Didn't really know what to expect coming into this. I forget who I picked. It might have been Nakamura, but... Dude, Nakamura looked great in this. He's fight very long, very rangy, and that proved to be the winning factor in this fight.
One judge had it 30-27 for Keita Nakamura. One other judge had it 29-28 for Keita Nakamura. One judge had it 29-28 for Salim Tuari.
I didn't see that one.
Nope, me either.
Maybe 29-28.
Keita Nakamura, still out here in the welterweight division, getting wins, so good for him. Decision victory, a split decision victory.
Right.
Moving on to the flyweight division.
We had Wilson Heiss going against Ben Ten Wen. This one, I honestly had picked Ben Wen going into this, but Wilson Heiss showing he's still a force in this flyweight division and just completely won all three rounds. There was no... Ben didn't have much of an offense, honestly. It was all Wilson Heiss in this fight. And he got the decision.
I think we both picked Wilson Heiss in this one, too.
I feel like I picked Ben, but I might be wrong.
You must have did trash then, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wilson Heiss.
Oh, no, I did horrible betting in this card. I'm glad I didn't put money on it.
Wilson Heiss definitely controlled the entire fight. 30-27s all across the board. Great performance by him. Kaikara France and Elias Garcia did get fight of the night.
Did they?
Bonuses. Moving on to the... featured bout on the preliminary Fox Sports 1 card.
We had Yushin Thunder Okami going up against Alexei Konchenko.
So Konchenko, we know, 19-0, unbeaten record, going up against Thunder Okami, a legend in the game.
I thought Okami would have done better, but my God.
That's Konchenko, dude.
Dude, brutal.
He's going to be moving up in that welterweight division.
Absolutely brutal. Just picked apart the legend Okami. Okami looked very fit in the welterweight division, and he looked great in his last fight, but man.
So they got to get Konchenko right up there in top 15.
For sure.
And I want to see him versus some of the best fighters now in the welterweight division. He's up there. Alexei Konchenko with a great performance. I think I already said the scores. That was a preliminary card on Fox Sports 1. Moving on to the next one.
We had Jim Crute going up against Paul Craig. Bear Jew.
Yeah.
This fight was pretty back and forth. Mm-hmm. Craig looked really good in the first two rounds. And then by the third round, man, it was all Jim Crute.
Yeah, and he ended up getting a Kimura 4 minutes and 51 seconds into the third round.
Wild.
Buzzer beater.
He could have lost that fight.
Definitely.
Crazy.
He pulled it off, though. And finally getting a win for the Australians. Or is Kaikara France Australian?
He is.
Oh, okay.
So only the second Australian to win. Where's Ashkan Mokhtarian?
He's like Finnish.
Is he? Where's he at? Did he not fight?
No. That's Suman Mokhtarian.
I thought Ashkan was on this too.
No.
Okay. Anyway, going on the next fight, we had Suman Mokhtarian going up against Sadiq Youssef. Wow, Sadiq Youssef, man.
I told you guys.
Holy shit.
I told you.
Holy shit.
That's a bad man.
My God, watch out for this kid.
For sure, dude. Yikes.
Man.
Big yikes.
Huge knockout at 2 minutes and 17 seconds in the first round.
He's got it, man. He's explosive. He gets it done.
That's awesome.
Watch out for Sadiq Youssef.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. So now we go on the trail of sadness for the Australians.
Back on it.
Onto the four fight.
Back on
the next four fights. We had, in the first fight, we had Jake Celtic Matthews going up against Tony Rocco Martin. He changed his name.
Anthony Rocco
Martin. Anthony Rocco Martin, yes. So
it's Anthony.
It's fucking Anthony Rocco. Hey, move out the fucking way. So Jake Matthews coming off, I believe, a win in his last fight, correct? Mm-hmm. And Tony Martin, who had two or three wins before this previously in the welterweight division, he started out lightweight and he moved up to welterweight. Two. So he, it went, the first two rounds were pretty back and forth. I might have had Jake winning the striking exchange. Tony looked really good using his range, though he was the taller fighter. Mm-hmm. But on to the third round, man. Tony got Jake down with a nasty punch. Or was it a body kick?
It was a punch.
Yeah, and just fucking locked up that choke. It was nasty. Hey,
people know Tony Martin gets that shit done on the ground, man.
I was like, oh my God, dude. Sick.
He has, hold on. I should have a stat up, but it's like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 tap outs.
Out of how many?
One knockout. Out of 15 wins.
Oh, I was going to say all finishes? Holy shit. Yeah, Tony Martin's the truth, man. Talk about a guy that started just like so-so in the UFC and moved up to be just this crazy finisher. Mm-hmm. Wild. That's awesome. What are you sucking on?
Strawberry banana sucker.
Fire. Wow. As you drink your 40.
Super nasty.
Oh, you nasty.
It's like one of those good ones, too. Like you get.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got you. Okay. On to this next fight, we had the last UFC contract fight of a legend, Mark Gunt, going up against Justin Big Pretty Willis. I thought Justin Willis would have used his wrestling in this fight, but he did not. Mark Hunt, you looked very tentative throughout the entire three rounds.
Oh, for sure.
Even though he had the hometown crowd backing him, Justin Willis just kind of capitalized on that. He stayed calm, he kept a level head, and just outboxed Mark Hunt, which you never see.
Right.
Like, I for sure thought he was going to get a takedown, but he didn't even try.
No.
Straight
hands team.
Mark Hunt looked like he was very tentative to throw a punch.
I think he's ready to be done, too.
No, because he went on a Helwani show and said, I'm done with the UFC, but I would gladly fight five more times elsewhere. So, look out, Bellator, here I come!
One championship.
He's going to be fighting Roy Nelson again. Yeah, one is the new move, shit.
Like, people ain't going to Bellator no more. They're going to one championship. Mm-hmm. Fam.
Bro.
As you crack your jewel.
Right. But, yeah, man, Mark Hunt lost this fight completely. I believe it was 30-27 all around. Mm-hmm. Justin Willis, man, big pretty. He was number 15. He's cracking in that division now.
You remember how Justine Kish pooped her pants? If Justin Willis pooped his pants, he'd be big shitty.
What's wrong with you? Oh my God. I wish someone was on this live feed. But then this shit. No one's joining it. People be popping in and popping right back out when they find out I'm not doing anything.
Once Lauren was on, I had like 7 viewers and then that shit was over.
Damn. Anywho, on to the next fight. We had another legend coming up. Mauricio Shogun Hua going up against light heavyweight prospect Tyson Pedro. Tyson Pedro coming off that devastating Kimura against OSP. And Mauricio Shogun Hua coming off that loss against Anthony Lionheart Smith just a few months ago. Mm-hmm. But that didn't stop him in this fight. Tyson Pedro was looking pretty good on the feet in the first two rounds. He was getting pieced up a little bit by the body kicks. But, man, Shogun turned back the clock in the third round. Oh, my man. God. I was sad for this one. I was sad to see it. But good for Shogun, though, honestly. Mm-hmm. What submission was it? I can't remember.
He TKO'd him.
Oh, that's right. I thought it was submission. My bad. Yeah, TKO'd him in the third round, only 46 seconds in.
43, but yeah, you're doing good, Slim.
Thank you.
You're doing better than you usually do, dude.
Thanks, bud. shout out to the legend, Shogun.
Yeah.
Like I said, turn it back the clock, but man, what's next for Tyson Pedro?
I don't know, dude.
Two in a row?
I don't know. I mean...
In his hometown?
Oh, dude, it hurts.
With all his team on the same card?
It hurts. He just, oh man, I don't know.
It sucks, man.
I don't want to say it, but
it sucks.
He struggles against, you know, too good of.
I think maybe this camp just needs a resurgence. Yeah. They need something different. They need a scenery change. They need a coaching change. Something different. This whole entire camp needs something different.
I think it should.
Anyway, Mauricio Shogun Hua getting the TKO at, like you said, 43 seconds in the third round. Moving on to the main event of the evening, we had Junior Dos Santos going up against Ty Bam Bam Tuivasa, the undefeated heavyweight, who is a huge prospect coming into this. And Junior Dos Santos kind of turning back the clock, coming off his suspension. He got that win over, who was that name? It was that Russian, wasn't it?
Yeah, Blagoj Ivana.
Yes.
Who's like Hungarian, actually.
Okay.
Or Bulgarian, I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyway, so Dos Santos seemed to have a different game plan coming into this than he has in previous fights. Mm-hmm. Usually he just goes in with his boxing, he throws some combinations. But now he's been using the leg kicks, he's been using the jab a lot more. Mm-hmm. And it clearly showed. Ty Tuivasa couldn't commit unless he threw a wild flurry. And in the second round, when he did throw that wild flurry, Junior Dos Santos caught him coming in and just put him down and fucking TKO'd him out at 2 minutes 30 seconds in the second round. Insane, dude.
So wild.
I was so upset.
Why is Junior Dos Santos and Cain Velasquez not a more talked about rivalry in MMA?
Because they finished it.
I know, but it was a good one.
It was an amazing one. Back in the day, yeah.
I feel like people don't talk, like, they talk about like Chuck and Tito and like that stupid shit.
No, it was an amazing one, but Cain proved that he was sick in the first one. That's why Junior won. And the second one, second two fights, he proved. But those fights were wars.
For sure.
Like wars that took tolls on these fighters' bodies. And that's why they haven't been competing as they should have been in the last few fights. But mm-hmm. Junior, man, turn back the clock. This was awesome. It was awesome to see. It was upsetting because I wanted the Australians to win, and it sucks that all four on the main card lost. Oh, all five, sorry, on the main card lost, except for Jim Crute. Is he Australian? Mm-hmm. Or is he? Mm-hmm. Okay. Jim Crute is the only Australian on the main card to win out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fights. But so that kind of sucks to see, you know. Mm-hmm. But, man, Junior Dos Santos was great in this.
The legends are back, man. The For Brazilian sure. legends are back.
Literally. Don't count the Brazilians up. Brazilian don't crack.
Yeah, great performances by them. And I didn't even talk about performance of the night bonuses.
Oh, yeah.
Shogun got one, and so did Sadiq Youssef.
Only two?
Yes. Nice. Well, and Kai Kara France and Elias Garcia got the
okay.
fight of the night.
All right. Do you want to take a break, or you want to run right through the next one?
Yeah, me and Slim are going on Bihu again tonight. We already said that, but...
I said, do you want to take a break or you want to run into the next one?
We need to go into the...
All right, let's do it. So, starting off in the early prelims...
Stop rushing me!
German, I thought you were Russian. So, on to the main, or the first fight of the night, we have Devin Brown Bear Clark going up against Alexander Rakic. What?
That's not it.
That's what I have.
That's not it, fam.
That's what I have, bud.
Well, I mean, we'll go from Slim's order.
Who do you have?
First fight is going to be Carlos Diego Ferreira versus Kyle Nelson.
Oh, I don't see that at all.
Okay. Awesome. I'll handle this one.
Sure.
So, in the very first... where are you looking at?
This is... Well, it's just the first one. On UFC's website.
They're so garbage.
It's very one. Unless they added a fight randomly.
Okay, so... Carlos Diego Ferreira was supposed to fight John McDessie at this event. However, McDessie did pull out on November 28th. He has been, he was then replaced by Jesse Ronson, who used to fight in the UFC. And then on December 4th, he had to pull out because he was too heavy to safely make that 156-pound limit.
Wow.
So then he was replaced by new UFC fighter Kyle Nelson. But really, Nelson's going to be an underdog in this one. Ferreira, a third-degree jiu-jitsu black belt, currently on a two-fight winning streak, only losses from Beneil Dariush back in the day, and Dustin Poirier. Got to go with Carlos Diego Ferreira in this one.
I'll do the same.
ANA MMA going with Carlos Diego Ferreira.
Now is this your next fight?
The one you said before?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my God.
The next fight is going to be Chad Laprise versus Diego Lima.
All right, let me go to that one. One sec.
So Diego Lima, brother of Douglas Lima,
right,
fighter out of American Top Team, coming in with his 12-7 and I'm sorry, yeah, 12-7 record, has lost his last three fights against Yushin Okami, Jesse Taylor, and Jason Jackson. This is going to be a tough one for him going up against Chad Laprise.
Chad Laprise is 14-3. He is giving up 4 inches of height and 3 inches of reach in this fight. Shit, I love Diego Lima, but...
Gotta go with Chad Laprise.
I gotta go with Chad Laprise.
ANA MMA going with Chad Laprise in the welterweight division. Moving on to the next one.
The first Canadian on the card.
Ultimate Fighter winner, Brad Katona.
Oh, wait, what? Oh, now we're going... Jesus, this is so out of whack. What the fuck, man? Anyway, Brad Katona going up against Matthew Lopez.
Brad Katona bringing in his 7-0 perfect record against young prospect Matthew Lopez. Really, it's going to be all Brad Katona in this one, letting you guys know early.
I think so, but damn, that's a hard test for him.
I mean, dude, it's not like Matthew Lopez is a pushover, but he's currently on a 2-fight losing streak. 2-3 in his last 5 bouts.
I'm still going to go Brad.
ANA MMA going with Brad Katona in this one. Moving on to, finally, for Slim.
Thank you. We have Brown Bear, Devin Clark, going up against Alexander Rakic in the 205-pound division. Brown Bear is 6 foot, and Rakic is 6'6".
Yes.
He has a 3-inch, only a 3-inch reach advantage, so Brown Bear got them arms.
Yep.
Devin
Brown making his 6th UFC fight. He lost against Alex Nicholson and Jan Blachowicz, but holds wins over Jake Collier, Mike Rodriguez, Josh Stansberry. Going to have a tough fight here with the taller fighter, though, in Alexander Rakic, who just won his very first UFC fight. Or, I'm sorry, no, his second UFC fight. 2-0. What?
Said,
Oh, 2-0 in the UFC. He's currently on a 10-fight winning streak. He lost his very first fight and hasn't lost since.
I'm going to take Rakic.
ANA MMA agreeing with the entire UFC early preliminary card. We're both going with Alexander Rakic in this one.
On to the prelims, we have the Canadian boy, the pretty boy, the ring girl boy, Elias Theodoru. Going up against Eric Anders.
No.
Okay, well, that's the first one of mine, so we're going with mine. We're going up against Eric.
Okay, yeah. Just so that people know, though, the very first one's going to be Olivier Aubin-Mercier versus Gilbert Burns, but we're predicting Eric Anders versus Elias Theodoru right now.
Okay, so this is a crazy fight.
Mm-hmm.
Elias Theodoru has looked great at 185, and Eric Anders has as well as of late, until he lost to Lyoto and then Thiago Santos at light heavyweight. This is a pretty quick turnaround for Anders after taking the beating it did against Thiago Santos. Mm-hmm. But, fuck, man, I think he might take this one.
It's going to be a very, very tough fight for him. It's going to be very, very close. But Theodoru does a lot of different things.
Right. And he does them well. He's 16-2 for a reason.
Oh, man. I don't know who to pick. This is a really hard one. This is kind of like a pick'em. Me and Slim are going to call it a pick'em. Very close fight here. You can pick either one, and it's a good bet. But
yeah.
I'm going to pick Eric Anders.
Nice. All right, now we'll go on to Aubin-Mercier.
Okay, in the next fight, lightweight division, we have Olivier Aubin-Mercier going against Gilbert Burns. So Gilbert Burns, the very, very successful world Brazilian jiu-jitsu champion, gold medalist, lost his last fight against Dan Hooker. 2 fights, 1 before that. He's 3-3 in his last 6 fights here in the UFC.
Out of Aubin-Mercier's 12 wins, 75% of them have come by submission.
Wow. He definitely does get it done on the ground, but so that's a...
Will this be a grappling contest?
I mean, so Aubin-Mercier is a black belt in judo, brown belt in BJJ, and a blue belt in taekwondo. Wow. I think he's going to end up getting it done on the feet. I'm going with Olivier Aubin-Mercier.
I'll do the same. What's your next fight? We'll go off your shit.
Okay. In the next fight, the women's flyweight division, we have Caitlin Chookagian going up against our girl,
Evil Eye.
So I'll take Jessica Evil Eye on this one.
You already know.
32 years old. You already know she was born in Rootstown, baby, fighting out of Cleveland, Ohio. You already know what the fuck it is.
But this is going to be her biggest test at flyweight so far. Caitlin Chookagian is 11-1 and has a 3-inch height advantage and a 2-inch reach advantage on her.
Big fam. So she's won. So Jessica Eye has won her last two fights since moving up to that flyweight division. Or I'm sorry. Isn't it?
You're right.
Did she go down?
No, she went up.
Went up, back up to the flyweight division.
She did go down. I'm sorry.
She went down to the flyweight division. She's been great so far. Two wins, including an upset over Jesse Rose Clark. Just getting over that slump she went through, man.
Yeah, man. That was not her division. Her division has always been 125, and now we're going to really see her shine. But this is her biggest test to date. She's number nine right now. Chookagian is number three.
Chookagian's only lost one fight in her career. It was a split decision versus Liz Carmouche.
How do you blame her for that?
Yeah, she's on a three-fight winning streak right now. She's actually... This is her third fight going back down to flyweight.
This is huge, man. This is like turning of the tides at flyweight. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Chookagian can win, she's putting herself right in line for that belt. But I gotta pick Evil Eye, man.
I'm going with our girl.
If anything, experience alone.
I'm sticking with our girl.
Our girl.
Jessica, Evil Eye, with the victory over Caitlin Chookagian.
Please come on our podcast.
Yeah. Moving on to the women's strawweight division, we have... a
little bit of D-City Claudia Goodale here. What's up with that, dude?
Yo, please tell the people. Please.
Okay, so Claudia Goodale was apparently... seen hanging out with Brian Ortega on, like, I think it was like a beach or some shit. And then she was asked about him at the media day, and she just kind of laughed and giggled it off. So you tagged me in these crazy comments on Instagram, and I'm going to read a couple of them because, oh my God, how do I get out of this shit? It's just fucking, I don't want to save any of this. Hang on, let me delete this because I didn't want to save that. It made me save my story or put it to my story. Anyway, so here's a couple of these comments. So the reaction of Claudia Goodale, this is her laugh.
Did he say anything to you?
He's my friend.
Okay.
So just friends, right? You know, just friends, you know what I'm saying? So one of the comments was Smash City. Another one was... Max isn't the only one who's been pulling out since July. Another one said, maybe T-City took her to D-City. another one was, like if Tyron Woodley is the best rapper in the world. I did not like that one. Another dude said, I thought he was gay.
What the fuck?
Like, all right.
That's a little harsh.
Yeah, those were the top funny ones, but Jesus Christ.
It's not known that Brian Ortega has a girlfriend, so.
The internet is unforgiving.
Very.
Anyway, Claudia Goodale, you're going up against Nina Ansaroff. How do you pick against Claudia Goodale, honestly, in this fight?
I mean, you can go with Nina Ansaroff, has won her last three fights, but nah, not in this one.
No.
Claudia Goodale, A&A MMA's pick. Rip that, Jules Slim. We need to hurry up. Be who's waiting for us.
On to the main card. Tell me what's your first fight, because I don't think it's mine.
Jimmy Manoa versus Thiago Santos.
That's the first fight?
Yes.
What the fuck am I going to be rapping when this is going on? Mad. We'll stream it. We'll do the Google thing again. Illegal. So, holding true to their original promise, Jimmy Manoa will meet Thiago Santos in the light heavyweight division. Fuck, man. This is awesome. I'm glad they kept to that original contract.
This shit's going
to
be fire.
After each fighter pulling out one time. Fucking Thiago Santos is actually taller than Jimmy Manoa.
Yep.
But Jimmy Manoa will have a 3.5-inch reach advantage on Thiago Santos. Both fighter or Manoa has an 89% knockout rate, and Santos is 68%. Fuck. I don't expect this fight to go to the ground at all. If it will be, it'll be from Thiago, not from Manoa. But
my whole life's been a lie.
Why?
Jimmy Manoa's name is Baba Jimmy Abiola Manoa. He was born in California.
I don't like that. Yeah, he was born in the United States. What the fuck? Where'd he grow up?
I guess in London.
All right. I am going to take Thiago Santos in this fight, though. I think Manoa sticks to one style, just boxing, and Thiago Santos has those kicks that'll just fucking wring your neck.
I think we've agreed with every fight so far.
Wow.
We're going to disagree on this one. I'm going with the natural light heavyweight.
Oh, the poster boy.
I'm going with Jimmy Manoa. I know he's had his ups and downs. He's currently on that two-fight losing streak. But, I mean, he struggles, and that's another thing. He does struggle against fighters with power. Gustafson, Anthony Johnson, Volkan Ozdemir.
Yeah. Top competition.
But I think he gets it done against Thiago Santos.
Okay. I like that.
ANA MMA going to disagree on this one. I'm going with Baba Jimmy Manoa. Slim is going with his boy, Thiago Santos.
Yeah. What's your next fight?
In the next fight, we have, in the featherweight division, Hakeem Dawodu going up against Kyle Bochniak.
Crash.
So, Kyle Bochniak, who can forget that possible fight of the year winner with Zabit?
Right. But, Hakeem Dawodu, though, he's coming off Contender Series, right?
No. He was from World Series of Fighting. He was a huge prospect coming in. Lost his very first fight, didn't tap out, went to sleep versus Danny Henry. It was a technical submission. 39 seconds into the fight, that was his very first loss. But he came back strong with a decision victory over Austin Arnett. And I do think he's going to end up getting this one done over Kyle Bochniak.
I will say the same.
ANA MMA going to agree with this one. Hey, but just so you know, Bochniak is on a win-loss, win-loss, win-loss streak. He's due for a win. But we're going to go ahead and agree. We're going with our boy, Hakeem Dawodu.
This next fight is amazing. I can't wait for this. We have Cowboy Alex Oliveira going up against Gunnar Nelson.
Wow.
Gunnar's been out for a long time since his loss over
Pantiago Sanzanibio.
And that was a knockout, and he had some injuries. Several injuries took him out of some fights, and he took some time off. The Icelander, though, is 16-3, and Alex Cowboy Oliveira is 19-4. I do think experience will have a factor in this fight, and I am going to take Alex Oliveira.
I don't think that's exactly what it's going to be.
Well, I think Gunny has better technique, but I think Alex is, you know, he's been in there with fucking Cowboy Cerrone. He was in there with Carlos Condit. Like, I just think he's got it right now.
Gunny, that was his first time being finished versus Santiago Ponzinibbio. I think he's going to get back to his winning ways here against Alex Cowboy Oliveira. ANA MMA going to disagree again. I'm going with Gunny Nelson. Slim's going with Alex Oliveira.
Nice.
Now, one of the fights we've all been waiting for.
Jesus Lord, thank you for this matchup. We have the number one strawweight contender, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, going up against the number one flyweight contender, Valentina Shevchenko, for the flyweight belt. Wow. Joanna has always struggled cutting weight to 115. She's now moving up to 125. Valentina has always been undersized at 135. She's now found her home at 125. I love this matchup.
And they fought hella times back in the day.
They fought three times in Muay Thai, and Valentina won every time. But that was 10 years ago. I don't consider that a factor in this fight.
Right.
Now, Joanna actually has an inch of height on Valentina. Valentina has, like, an inch and a half of reach. Valentina has a better stoppage rate in her UFC career than Joanna.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think Valentina is going to take this one and be the flyweight champion, women's flyweight champion of the world for a very long time.
Joanna was actually Valentina's very first professional IFM, like, in tournament fucking fight.
Wow.
That was in 2006.
Damn.
At the IFMA World Championship Tournament.
Jesus.
In the quarterfinals. Wow. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Got to go with. Oh, she also fought Lena Landsberg. That's interesting. Did you see that Valentina beat up beat a 22-year-old when she was 12.
I seen the Bleacher Report, but I didn't look at the video.
Crazy. But yeah, ANA MMA going with Valentina Shevchenko in this one.
The Bullet.
I think she is the consensus top flyweight in the world.
This next fight is the matchup that I've been looking forward to all year. All year.
Is this possibly the great? This is going to be
behind
one of the greatest flyweight fight, or I'm sorry, flyweight, featherweight fights of all time.
Behind Conor Aldo, this is the greatest. Mm-hmm. Featherweight fight of all time. Mm-hmm. So we have 12-0 Max Bless Holloway going up against 6-0 Brian T. City Ortega. Now I want to show this.
What records are those from?
The UFC.
12-0 and 6-0?
Recently.
12 fight win streak.
Yeah, I'm sorry. 12 fight win streak versus 6 fight win streak in the UFC. My bad. That's my fault. I want to play this clip because people thought, oh, this is gonna be, you know, they're friends, they're not gonna go at it, but they did. They proved it. They proved they can talk some shit.
Everything the guy did, I did better. He's on what, 6 fight win streak? I got 12. He beat a champion, I beat two. And I beat one of them twice. You know, so at the end of the day, the Bless Express is going around in a circle. We laughing at you, bro. You know, and little brother, and I'm younger than you, so congratulations.
And just quickly for Brian, when you hear him say that everything you did, he did better, do you have a response?
Sometimes the best response is no response.
Sometimes you don't have a response, so.
Someone is still delirious.
Whoa.
I said you're still delirious.
Ooh. Spicy talk.
I did see Brian Ortega like saying he would like kick it with Max Holloway.
No, yeah, he said they would be homies if they weren't fighting right now. And also that later in the press conference, he did say, hey, listen, I know we're fighting, but I am concerned about your health. You know, you pulled out for Khabib. You pulled out for our fight before. I am concerned about your health, but regardless, we're still going to fight. If you're ready, I'm ready. We're here. Right. So, you know, it's cool to see a mutual respect with these guys, but the same thing, you got to talk some shit real quick. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Max is only, what, 26?
Something like that, yeah.
Crazy. Anyway, one of the biggest featherweight fights of all time. 19-3, Max Holloway going against 14-0 with 1-0 contest, Brian Ortega. He could be 15-0, but he smokes that weed. Max Holloway has 3 inches of height on him, and the reach is identical. Ortega got them fucking orangutan arms.
Shit.
God damn. So we have the submission specialist going up against the striking specialist. Honestly, you can't just call Ortega a submission specialist anymore because of what he did to Frankie Edgar.
He's the first one to ever knock him out.
No one knocks out Frankie Edgar.
Nobody. Literally.
But at the same time, I heard this stat. Max Holloway has the best takedown defense possibly in the UFC, and Ortega absorbs some of the most strikes in the featherweight division per fight. So, thing is, every time Ortega's fought, He's losing, and then boom, mm-hmm. He finishes, either with a TKO or a submission.
Right.
I don't think this is going to be one of those times. It depends, because every time we've seen Brian Ortega fight, he grows, and he grows, he and does. He grows, and he looks like a better fighter.
Right, right.
But Max has done the same.
Exactly.
He TKO'd Aldo twice within the same round both times. He beat up Anthony Pettis like nothing. I don't want to pick this fight. I really don't know what to expect, but I do think if Max Holloway has had whatever health complications were troubling him before, if those are cleared up, I think he takes this fight.
You literally just read my mind, Slim. There's nothing I need to say. That was nice. Perfect. That was everything that was on my mind.
Nice.
I'm going with Max Holloway in this one.
Hell yeah.
It's the blessed era, baby.
We have like one fight. We're not the same one.
It was like two or something. Yeah.
We'll bet on it. No.
So that means we mean it this time. So make sure you guys get our picks. Take our picks on this one. Believe us.
Believe it.
But yeah, we got to get off to Bihu to record another podcast.
Right. This was fun. You know, we're on that two podcasts a day shit. You know what I'm saying? We out here.
Slim's on three podcasts a week. You fucking crack it.
I'm very busy.
Dropping an album.
Dropping a motherfucking album this Friday. I got a motherfucking show this side of the Euro Gyro. You heard me roll call it earlier. There's a whole stacked list of rappers and one producer, and it's going to be great. It's going to be a fun time. My cousins were on, so they got me a present that they had to show me their ID for. I hope it's a good old dildo.
They got you something else, too.
What's that?
I'm not telling you.
But you know?
Yeah.
You fucker.
All right. Fire, too.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Shit.
You're going to shit your little pants.
Okay, I'm ready. Dope. It's good to know my cousins can make it, but my parents can't be troubled too because they don't have any money. And I'm like, hey, it's a free show. They're like, whoa, we're going to just come out and not drink anything? So that's fun. I'm glad I have this family support on the other side of the house that live all the way at Norton.
It's better to have like your young family come, not your...
100%, I don't want them there. And there's a lot of people too that I'm like, I don't know if I want you to hear my album, but you're going to hear it anyway because it's going to be on all streaming platforms, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Pandora, SoundCloud, all that bullshit. Don't call me just a SoundCloud rapper anymore.
It's going down outside.
What is? What's outside?
The weather.
Oh, good. Then we better make a move on. We're out of here for AMMA. I'm Slim. That's Monty.
We love you.
And we'll see you on Sunday. Bye. This has been the Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.